the line with us, a man who will be hosting Keith Jones Saturday at noon, yep, right here at WIP, the iconic sports media hero, Ray Dittinger. Hi, Ray.
Morning, Ange.
Ray, what made you select Keith Jones to honor this week on your show?
Well, Glenn and I have been talking about it for a while now. We're talking about future guests we wanted to have, and Glenn said, you know, what about Jonesy? I said, absolutely. I would love to have Jonesy on. You know, I know, but of course during the playoffs and all, he had a busy schedule and didn't want to bother him. But yeah, that was one that we had on the list for a long time. I mean, I was just telling Joe Wechter, you know, I read Jonesy's book when it came out, and I thought it was terrific. I think that there's so many stories in there, and he's so popular. I just thought he was a can't miss. So we're really looking forward to it.
We knew someone had read that book. I'm glad we are now able to identify it. And furthermore, Ray, Al Morganti wanted to know how many other athletes rejected you before you ended up with Keith Jones.
Only one.
Oh, there was one? Hold on a minute. There was one, Ray?
Yeah, but that's okay.
All right, we can't say. All right, fair enough. Ray, I got a lot of ground to cover here, so you study the tape. And I wanted to start with George Kittle, 15 for 15. Could you give me some sense for who was most responsible for that ridiculous number?
It's kind of all over the place. It was Epps some, McLeod some, the linebackers, Gary some. I mean, it was a little bit of everything because the Niners moved Kittle around as teams do with a really good tight end. So he worked on a lot of different people. But listen, he's going to beat a lot of people up. He's really good. You know, he's really good.
But
I think the thing that was a little disturbing was that he was 15 for 15.
Yeah, right.
15 targets.
No one's 15 for 15. Even the six balls that were contested, he caught.
Yeah.
I mean, that is disgraceful that they couldn't. Did they adjust? Did they try different things over the course of the game?
No, they did. They did. I think what happened was the Niners just realized that was about the only thing they had working, because they just had a heck of a time blocking the Eagles' defensive line. So they had to scheme up something that the ball could come out of the quarterback's hands really fast, whether it was Mullins or Beathard. They just adjusted everything into a real short, quick look, one look, you know, get the ball out in a hurry. And that's usually a tight end route. And you know, with him, I mean, he's going to get open, and he catches the ball. So, yeah, well, you knew going in, or at least I felt going in, that was a very tough matchup for the Eagles, and it certainly proved to be. But this, you know, this week it's not going to be a whole lot easier. I mean, Eric Ebron is a good player. I mean, he's not Kittle, he's not Kelce, but he's good.
All right, let's go more positive here, Ray. It was a win, a desperately needed win. Who really looked good on that tape?
Well, if you're an Eagles fan, what makes you feel good is that they really seem to have found some stability on both lines of scrimmage. The offensive line and the defensive line both played very well, and that's not something you could have said weeks one or week two. You know, I mean, week one, the offensive line was terrible in Washington. We all know that. And in week two, the defensive line basically didn't show up in the Rams game. And if you're bad and you're getting beat at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, you're not going to win many games. And honestly, at that point, I didn't know how good they were going to be. You know, I thought maybe this is going to be the way it's going to be all year. And in that case, you're looking at a really brutal year. But they've come on. I mean, they have come on. The defensive line played extremely well in San Francisco. And the offensive line has gotten steadily better. I mean, Herbig has settled in and has actually played well. Kelce's been good. You know, Johnson has been in and out of the lineup with injuries, which is unfortunate, but the kid Jack Driscoll, when he's had to play, has played well. And last week, I mean, you just can't say enough about how well Mulata played. I mean, nobody knew what to expect when he went into that game. Nobody knew what to expect. I mean, that could have been a disaster, but the kid went in there and he competed. And I thought, you know, when I went back, I said, I can't believe how good this kid's playing. Now, can he do it moving forward? Can he do it for three, four more weeks until you get Peters back? I don't know, but this week will be a better test, because this week they're going up against a Pittsburgh team with two really, really good edge rushers in Dupree and Watt. So this is going to be a tougher challenge for Mulata, but you had to be very encouraged by what you saw Sunday.
I'm just curious. We've seen Peters there this year. He hasn't been that impressive.
No.
Was Mulata better on Sunday night than Peters has been previously this year?
Yes.
Wow, that alone is amazing, isn't it?
It is, and by a considerable margin. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, look, I have the utmost respect for Jason Peters. I mean, he's a terrific player. He's the best tackle I've seen play for the Eagles when he was at his best. I mean, he was the best tackle I've seen play for the Eagles since Bob Brown, who's a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, he's been that good, but he hasn't been that good the last couple of years. I mean, there's definitely some slippage, but what the heck? I mean, the guy's in his late 30s, so you kind of expect that. But this year he was actually a liability, and the Cincinnati game in particular. So, yeah, I mean, right now, Mulata played better in this game than Peters had in any game previous to that.
Wow. All right, let me get to there's a couple of other issues here that are very important. Obviously, the big one is Carson Wentz. Wentz played a better game, but not a great game. How different was the approach the Eagles took by moving to Morey, and how effective was it?
I thought it was the single biggest factor of why you saw the offense improve. Because he played better, and when he plays better, the whole offense is going to function better. I don't know why it took him so long to kind of come to the conclusion that moving him out of the pocket was the way to go. When you saw the way things went in Washington, when you saw that, you know, him standing in the pocket, holding the ball, taking 8 sacks. I wasn't just me. I mean, everybody's screaming at the television, you know, get him out of the pocket. You're screaming two things. Number one is throw the ball away. Mm-hmm. And the other one is get him out of the pocket, you know, get him to the outside. I don't know why it took him so long to arrive at that, but this week they did, and I thought it was very helpful. I mean, it helped the offensive line, took some pressure off the offensive line. It gave the defense something more to think about, which is a good thing. And it allowed Wentz to find a comfort zone that he hadn't had before. I mean, you know, the last two weeks, and I'm not saying you want to make him into a total running quarterback, because you all know everybody talks about you don't want to get him hurt, so you don't want to put him at risk. But when he tucks the ball and runs, and he does it smartly, he's a weapon. I mean, he's had 10 rushing first downs in the last two games. That's a lot for a quarterback today. And I think it makes him a better quarterback. It makes him a better passer. Because sometimes when he's in the pocket, his mechanics are not that good. Sometimes he forces the ball and doesn't get his legs, his lower body into the throw. And some of his throws are high or they hang up. He actually seems to me to throw the ball better and more confidently when he's on the run. So why not? You know, and I think that you know, the Steelers are going to prepare for it. They know, they've seen it now, so they know what to prepare for. But moving him around, I think, is a smart way to go because, man, they can bring a lot of pressure. If you just leave your quarterback in one place and they know where to go find him, believe me, they can get there.
Yeah, so that's going to be one of the big factors. We're segueing over now to the game. Somehow Wentz getting rid of the ball, because that's as good a pass rush as there is in the league, correct, Ray? That's rated in the top five, correct?
The Steelers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they led the league in sacks last year. They led the league in takeaways last year.
Wow.
And even though just through three games this year, they've got 15 sacks and 4 interceptions. So, yeah, I mean, they're a high-pressure defense. Right now, you look at the Steelers, their offense is not really clicking. I mean, offensively, they just look like they're a step or two off. But defensively, they're playing very well.
All right, let's go to their offense. Big Ben. Is he over the hill? How much of Big Ben's magic is left?
Well, if you looked at the stats, his stats are pretty good. He's 7 touchdowns, only 1 interception. He's got a quarterback efficiency rating of 105. So, I mean, that's pretty good. But he looks to me to be right now a little bit of a different quarterback than he was before. He's coming off major elbow surgery, so you'd expect that. He's not pushing the ball down the field. That's a couple different things. Number one is I don't know that his arm has fully gotten back to its full strength. And they don't really have – I mean, they've never really replaced Antonio Brown as far as a big play wide receiver. They got a lot of sort of in-between kind of receivers, but they don't have a big game-breaker kind of receiver. So it's a different kind of passing game. But the one thing about Ben that will always be true about Ben is that he's smart with the football. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And the one thing about him now is he's gotten a little bit older and he's had some injury issues. He's better about getting rid of the ball. I mean, Ben was one of those guys that so trusted, you know, how big and strong he was in the pocket. You know, he was a guy that would stand there and he would hold the ball. And now I think the coaches and maybe he himself has come to the conclusion, I got to be smart with this. I got to get rid of the ball quicker. And he is. So getting to him is a problem. Their offensive line is good. They're getting David DeCastro back at guard, who's a real good player. He's coming back this week. So the Eagles' defensive line, which has been really good, was good down the stretch against Cincinnati and was really good all night against San Francisco. This is going to be a real challenge because they're going up against a better offensive line, and they're going up against a quarterback that really knows how to get rid of the ball and get rid of it quick.
All right, before your pick, one last question. Does anybody on the Steelers team, did they have any chance at all to be able to stop Travis Fulgham? that was one hell of a play, wasn't it, Ray?
Tremendous play.
I don't get it. I know. I don't even know who he is. It was an incredible play. Great throw, great catch, great tiptoe into the end zone. I can't believe it. They got to use him now, right?
You would hope so. He was a small college guy, Old Dominion, but I mean he was good enough to get invited. First time I noticed him was Senior Bowl because I had never seen an Old Dominion guy in the Senior Bowl. So I just kind of was looking at that and said, "Geez, who's this guy?"
Right.
And I kind of got a little interested in him. And he bounced around now. You know, he's been cut by a couple different teams. He winds up here and gets the opportunity on Sunday Night Football to make the play that may have saved your season. Ange, I'll tell you, that's the thing that people ask me why, you know, after 50 years of covering the Eagles, don't you get tired of it? You know, the same thing all the time. And I always say no. And the reason I say no is because of things like that. You know, people say, it's the same thing all the time. No, it's not. I mean, the game is the same, but from week to week, the storylines are so different. And there's always a surprise or something you never expect happens. You know, and Travis Fulgham is the perfect example of that. I mean, that was, you know, I mean, I don't know if this kid's going to go on and break Harold Carmichael's records or anything. But for one night, that was one of those things that you just said, can you believe that? And now, you know, I think he has some ability. And listen, given the state of the Eagles wide receivers not now and, you know, is Deshaun coming back? Is he not coming back? If he does come back, how long can he last? You know, this kid's going to get some opportunities, and who knows? Maybe he turns into a player.
I love that answer to a really stupid question, Ray. You don't even have to ask good questions, Al. Ray gives you great answers. You don't even have to do it. I got a whole report. All I asked was, can they stop Travis Fulgham? The answer was no. No one can.
I'd love to hear his story.
Right? It was great stuff. All right. Wait a minute. Are you saying Travis Fulgham should be on Saturday instead of you?
He's the guy that said no, I guess.
All right, Ray, without further ado, we are on a run. We have a one-game winning streak. We haven't lost in 2 weeks. What is your pick, Eagles at Steelers?
Well, I'm on a run myself. I've been wrong every week.
<That's right>. All right, you're due now, Ray. You're due.
I don't know. You know, I actually think, to me, this is a really tough game to pick, and I'm very surprised. The thing that surprises me the most is the point spread. I mean, Steelers are favored by 7.
Yeah.
To me, that's a lot. I mean, the way the Eagles are playing defense right now, that's a lot. I mean, the Steelers are 3-0, but they've beaten, you know, 3 bad teams. So, you know, I'm not really so sure how good they are right now, at least on offense. I mean, you know, Giants, Broncos, Houston. I mean, that's
one win,
know.
Ray. One win.
1-11.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at that, and I've looked at the tape, and I said, yeah, they look pretty good. But then I'm looking at who they're playing, and I'm saying, well, I still don't know what that tells me exactly. I'll tell you what it does tell me is I think they're very sputtery on offense right now. But defensively, they're very solid. They're very good at the line. The two outside pass rushers, Dupree and Watt, are really good. And the secondary is solid. I mean, Hayden's a good corner, and Fitzpatrick, the kid they traded for last year, has really helped them. So defensively, they're really good. I mean, the Eagles are going to, that's a real challenge, is dealing with their defense.
Could you tell me who's going to win, Ray?
Okay. I'm sort of,
Ray doesn't want to answer the question. Al, he's filibustering.
No, I don't know.
He doesn't.
I'm not.
What do you mean you don't know? You're my expert.
That was Rector.
All I can tell you, Ange,
okay, that was a drop. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I honestly am still wrestling with it even as we speak. That's why I was kind of stalling. But I know I have to make a pick.
Yeah.
And just based on what I've seen so far, until proven otherwise, I do think the Steelers are a better overall team.
Yep.
So I'm going to take the Steelers. But I think it's going to be close. I'm saying I think it's going to be in a league where everybody's scoring a million points.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be old school kind of football. I'm going to say Pittsburgh 20-17.
20-17. Aww. Take the points, Ray is saying. Ray, you're awesome. And again, I know you got to get off now to start prepping for your in-depth interview with Keith Jones at noon on Saturday. That's going to be a delight for people here. Ray, we love you, man. Be well.
All right, you too, Ange. See you.
Great Ray Dittiger with some great insight. All right, now listen, we got to get serious here. I got a lot of good stuff, and I got to get it out. First of all, I got one caller online, Daryl in Lancaster. Daryl, you're first. Here's the contest today. Among the items you're playing for is a Miles Sanders jersey. We got great stuff to give away today. My God, all the stuff we got today. I got a Fandango gift card because big movies are back. I got a gift card to Glenn Macnow's Conshohocken Brewing Company.
Cool.
I got tickets to a Joe Conklin socially distanced comedy show. Here's all you got to do. In honor of Chevy Chase's 77th birthday, I am looking for the best comedies ever. Here's what we got so far. Airplane, Anchorman, Big Lebowski, Caddyshack, Dumb and Dumber, Hangover, Step Brothers. Come on, guys. We've left out almost all the good ones. Jump on now. You will get on. 215-592-9494. When we come back, I hate to alarm you, John Heyman, one of the most knowledgeable baseball voices, took a deep dive into what's going on behind the scenes of the Phillies. It's alarming. It's next. WIP Sports Time, 817.